Welcome back, everyone, to the Dark Forest. If you're new to the channel, consider subscribing and smashing that thumbs up. Download your favorite scary story on my Apple Podcast and Spotify, Tales from the Dark Forest. A shout out to my patrons and my channel members. Now let's get into tonight's tale. Harry Parkins shifted in his chair. Murphy at his feet lifted his head but didn't move. At 17, the hound only moved when he absolutely had to. And when his master showed no signs of getting up, he pushed his head back down and closed his eyes. Daryl Morgan, Harry's nephew, closed the magazine he had been skimming and sat on his lap. The fire in the wood stove was getting low, throwing wild shadows across the walls, and some of the cold autumn wind shrieking outside was starting to seep in. "Are you about ready?" Without looking up from his book, Harry said, "In a minute." Daryl sighed. "Come on, we haven't had a customer in hours."
"Go home then," Harry said, crisply turning a page.
"I oughta," Daryl thought, but made no move to stand. Outside, the wind groaned. The general store, which Harry had owned since 1969, was 3 miles north of Pickett's Mead on Route 29, surrounded by forest. Business was slow in the day, but once the sun went down, forget it. They haven't had a customer since shortly before 7. It was 9 now. 2 hours of sitting by the stove and only sounds of hollow wind and the crackling of the fire. "It's Halloween," Harry said earlier. "Someone might want to get some candy or something." Daryl hadn't been trick-or-treating since he was 10, but as far as he knew, all that was over and done with by 8:30. No reason to stay open now. "You piss and moan about being tired all the time," Daryl said. "But look at you, staying up all night reading." Harry grunted. "At my age, you can't sleep a damn anyways. You'll see." "That's why you're up at 4 in the morning?"
"Yes, it is," Harry said.
Daryl rolled his neck. "I'm getting sore just sitting here."
"Go home."
"And leave you alone? I got Murphy. The dog's as old as you are."
Harry looked up, his glasses reflecting the light of the fire.
"If all you're going to do is complain, go home. I get around just fine without you."
With that, he went back to reading.
Defeated, Daryl opened his magazine and went back to the article about Lady Gaga he hadn't read. He was just getting through the first paragraph when the bell above the door dinged and cold wind filled the store. Daryl glanced over his shoulder. A man stood just inside the door. Young, early 20s. He looked nervously around, missing them in their nook, and seemed to anxiously plot his next move.
"Good evening," Harry said,
putting aside his book. Murphy, knowing the score, got up and dragged himself closer to the stove, so Harry could get up, which he presently did. The young man jerked, saw them, and smiled.
"Thank God. I thought you were closed."
"Nope," Harry said.
"We're open. What could I do for you?"
The young man gestured towards the door.
"Me and my friends are broke down up the road. We don't have any cell service, and I was wondering if I could use your phone."
Harry shook his head.
"Don't have a phone."
The young man gasped.
"You don't?" "Harry's too cheap for a phone," Daryl said.
"Never used it anyways," Harry said, spreading his hands apologetically.
"You don't have any service here?"
"Let me see." He dug into his coat pocket, brought out the rectangular iPhone, and glanced at the screen.
"No," he shook his head.
"Weird, we had it coming in."
"This is a bad place for cell phones," Harry said.
"I could have Daryl run you in the town. They got phones at the police station." Daryl was sure he saw the blood run out of the kid's face.
"Oh no, that's okay, really. Could you give me a ride back?"
Harry shrugged.
"Yeah, what the hell. We're closing up shop anyways. Where are you?"
"Chestnut Hill."
Daryl's heart sputtered.
and he was sure Harry's did likewise.
Chestnut Hill, you said?
Harry asked, his voice suddenly uneven.
Sensing their disquiet, the kid suddenly looked worried.
It's not private property, is it? We don't know, honest.
Harry and Daryl exchanged a glance. Set back several miles from the road, Chestnut Hill, which rode bald from the sea of twisted trees around it, wasn't any kind of place for someone owned. It wasn't the kind of place someone would want to own. It was a bad place. An evil place. The Indians knew it. They buried their dead there long ago. And as the story went, their dead came back. When the white men came along, they laughed at the Indians' superstition. Until their children went missing, and the red eyes appeared at their windows at night. Stories, of course. Harry and Daryl both knew that, but still.
No, it ain't private property, Harry said. But it's not a good place for young people to hang out. Lots of stuff out there, animals and such.
We'll be out of there as soon as we can.
Yeah, that's best. Come on, we'll run you up there.
Harry started closing down. Daryl sat his magazine aside and got up. In the bathroom, he pissed, washed his hands, and dried them on the washcloth hanging near the sink. In the mirror, he looked unnerved. Not scared, yet just uneasy. Every town has a haunted house or a haunted road, the kind of place kids tell each other stories about. In Pickett's Mead, this place was Chestnut Hill. Standing at the sink, Daryl remembered everything he had ever heard about the mishappened hill and the thick woods around it. Demons, ghosts walking in the trees at night. Some people said they heard screaming in there, sobbing, insane laughter. One old-timer, when Daryl was growing up, said that he got lost in there as a kid, said glowing red eyes glared from snarled thickets.
I don't know what that place is all about, but something ain't right, he said.
It's just stories.
Yeah, he knew that. He didn't much like the place anyways, especially after dark.
You ready? Harry called.
Yeah, Daryl said, shutting off the light. He went into the store proper.
Harry and the kid were standing by the door waiting for him, Murphy sitting by Harry's feet.
When he appeared, the trio went outside.
Harry holding the door for him when he, too, was out. Harry shut the door and locked it. Harry's blazer was parked along the side of the building, a 1985 model with rust on the hood. Harry helped Murphy into the open space behind the back seat where Daryl climbed into the passenger seat, and the kid slid in the back. Once Murphy was settled, Harry slammed the tailgate and came around to the driver's side.
A lot of people say that that place is haunted, Harry said, starting the engine.
You ain't seen nothing up there, have you?
He sounded like he was joking, but Daryl thought he was being half-serious.
The kid shook his head.
No, it's just strange. One minute the RV's fine, the next we just lost power.
Like it died?
They were on the highway now, heading north. The turnoff for Chestnut Hill was a mile up, a narrow dirt track nearly hidden by foliage.
The kid nodded.
Yeah. The lights went out and everything.
Maybe those ghosts didn't like you being there. Harry laughed.
Maybe, the kid said, smiling back.
Daryl didn't think it was funny. Even though he didn't really believe there was ghosts fooling around in the woods, he didn't like the place. He remembered an article he read in a magazine. On one of those nights Harry kept him over at the store, till 10 or 11. He said something about certain places having low-frequency sound wave vibrations that caused fear in people. One example was a guy working in a lab. Every time the air kicked on, he started getting that ooky, spooky feeling you get when you think a ghost is haunting you. Come to find out, the vent was somehow creating a sound wave that rubbed him the wrong way or something. Daryl couldn't remember exactly. It was too science-y for him. But the gist he took away was, some places just scare people. If that was true, then Chestnut Hill was one of those places. Maybe it was the lay of the land. Maybe the hills and trees reflected the wind in such a way it triggered people's fear glands. Who knew? Even so, That's not the kind of place for people. Bad environment. Best just to stay away. By now, they reached the turnoff. Far from the highway, the dirt road followed the contours of the land, barreling along a raised ridge through the forest. The trees pressed close, in some points brushing the truck. It was dark in the woods. Too dark. From the storage compartment, Murphy whined. "What are you guys doing back there anyways?" Harry said.
"Camping," the kid said.
"You in college?"
"UMW."
That was in Fredericksburg, 30-some-odd miles south along the Rappahannock. Nice old town with shaded streets and colonial architecture. Daryl figured the kid and his buddies were just out drinking and smoking drugs like college kids do. Not that he cared. Even now, he enjoyed the occasional joint, although it usually put him to sleep. Ahead, the road bent to the left and disappeared around a gentle hillside. Daryl kept expecting to feel eerie sensations along his spine, but didn't. He felt normal. After bending, the road emerged from the forest and continued between two barren hills, bathed silver in the light of the moon. In actuality, they were the same hill, at least on paper, Chestnut Hill.
"There," the kid said.
About 500 feet ahead, at the summit, an RV sat in the road. Harry pulled up behind it and killed the engine.
"Daryl will take a look at your RV for you. He knows cars pretty well."
Daryl nodded.
"Yeah," he said.
"Thanks," the kid said, getting out. While he jogged out along the RV, Daryl looked at Harry.
"Thanks for volunteering me."
"We can't just leave him up here. Just look under the hood or something."
Shaking his head, Daryl got out.
The kid was just coming out the door along the side.
"They're gone!"
Daryl stopped.
"Gone?"
The kid nodded.
"My friends, they're not here."
Daryl's heart skipped a beat.
"Gone?
Maybe they went for help," he said.
"I don't know," the kid said. "I don't think..."
Something grabbed Daryl's foot.
"What the shit?"
Daryl screamed, jumping back. From the darkness beneath the RV, a blue face appeared, its eyes shining yellow. It reached for him, its fingers long and crooked.
"Give me your liver."
"Cindy?"
the kid asked uncertainly. Another face appeared from the blackness. This one was male. His face was blue as well.
"Mark?"
it greeted. Daryl was frozen. One after another, three more faces emerged from the shadows, hands reaching, grasping. Cindy was almost fully out, wiggling in the dirt like a serpent. She reached for Daryl's foot again. Daryl jumped back.
"If your friends are joking, they better knock it off."
The kid looked stricken. What are you guys doing? Hey. Cindy went to stand. Daryl kicked her in the face.
"Bro!"
the kid cried. Cindy laid motionless in the dust for a moment before resuming her efforts.
"I'll eat your toes for that."
Daryl started for the blazer. "I suggest you come on." His voice was even, despite his slamming heart. The kid stood where he was. The things were reaching for him, gnashing their teeth. Realizing something was wrong, he started after Daryl.
Harry was standing by the blazer, by the open door.
"What's wrong?" he asked. "Let's get the hell out of here," Daryl said, climbing into the passenger seat. "What?"
In the back, Murphy was whining.
"What's going on?"
Harry asked, leaning in, his face all white. The kid was stopped by the front end, looking back at his friends.
"Get in the frickin' car!"
Daryl yelled at both of them. Harry, obeying, climbed in. The kid started for the door, but something stopped him. Daryl caught a glimpse of his face and looked back. Their shambling fingers were closing in from behind, their heads crooked and their arms hanging. Harry saw them too.
"Holy shit! Get in!"
The kid, seeming to snap out of a trance, opened the door and threw himself in.
"What the hell's going on?"
Harry turned the key. The engine clicked.
"Oh no,"
he whispered. Daryl looked at him.
"Oh no?
It won't start." The figures were closer now.
Ahead, Cindy staggered from behind the RV. The others were close behind. Harry tried again. The engine sputtered, but didn't turn over.
Damn!
Hit the brake! Daryl cried, hysterical. He popped the brake. The Blazer started and drifted backwards. Harry spun the wheel. The front bumper slammed into one of the things and knocked it down. The other jerked quickly away in the wash of headlights. Daryl saw what it was. Its face was skeletal, its eye sockets empty, and its teeth jagged and cracked. They were coasting down the hill now, Harry muttering and Daryl panting. Behind them, the ghouls merged ranks and followed. They were moving fast.
Harry!
Daryl cried. Murphy was barking. The kid was crying.
I'm trying! Harry screamed.
The road entered the forest. They were everywhere. On the hillside and in the ravine, standing stock still and watching, their eyes red and glowing. Harry saw them and let out a long, low, oh, and lost control of the wheel. The Blazer drifted left and went over the embankment. Daryl screamed. It turned over, rolled once, and slammed into a tree, glass shattering and metal crunching. Murphy yelped and the kid screamed. Daryl yelled. Harry continued gurgling.
Heart attack. He's having a heart attack.
Daryl's head slammed on the dashboard, and for a moment the world went gray. When Daryl came back to, he was out of the Blazer, lying in a drift of dead leaves, the smell of earth strong and pungent. Shuddering, Daryl got to his feet, nearly losing his balance. The things were coming down the hillside.
I want his stomach lining.
One of them shrieked. Daryl ran. All around him, eyes watched from the bush. Something came out of the undergrowth, reaching for him. In a cold shaft of moonlight, Daryl saw its face, twisted black and dog-like with a long snout and snapping teeth. Daryl screamed, spun away, and struck out, hitting the thing in its face. Blind with panic now, Daryl ran, barreling headlong through the forest, branches snapping rudely in his face. When he reached the highway 15 minutes later, he was so far gone that he didn't see the oncoming headlights, didn't hear the air horns, but he did feel the impact. Sunlight crept tentatively over the land, spreading forth and banishing the darkness. On Chestnut Hill, an RV sat empty. A quarter mile south, a forest Blazer laid on its side like a wounded animal. It, too, was empty.